Joined by a senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com, analyst on the Pick 6 podcast, good friend of this program. In fact, many of the programs we've done, he is Pete Prisco. Good to have you back. Pete, how are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good. Pete, appreciate the visit. Go ahead and humor me here, Pete. The Giants are going to face the Patriots tomorrow night. Weird things happen on Thursday nights, but is there any way this Giants team can beat this Patriots team tomorrow?
No, absolutely not. And look, the bottom line is, even if they had all their weapons, it would be a tough challenge for a rookie quarterback against Belichick and that defense. And this might be the best defense Belichick has had. And that's saying something, because I know you go back to all those defenses when, you know, Ty Law and Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis. But this secondary is playing unbelievably good football. And I'm talking about across the board, all of them. You know, as good as Gilmore been in his career, Jason McCourty might be playing better than him this year. And Devin McCourty's outstanding, and the young corners are all playing well. So I think this is going to be a real challenge for Daniel Jones. You know, when he doesn't have Barkley, he doesn't have Ingram, it's going to even be a bigger challenge. So, no, they have no chance to win that game.
Pete Prisco joining us. You know, it's an amazing statement you make about their defense. They've had some really good defenses, and this might be their best. At the same time, you tweeted recently, quote, "Brady looks like crap the past 2 weeks." What are the things, Pete, that jump out to you in particular that make you think that right now, anyway, he looks like crap?
Well, he got it going after I sent that tweet out, so maybe I motivated him, Jim. But seriously, he struggled a little bit, you know, and I think some of that has to do with the protection. The protection hasn't been great. And we know through the years, no matter who plays on that line, Dante Scarnecchia always seems to fix it. Well, so far they haven't fixed it yet. So he's getting hit a little more. He's getting the ball out quicker. He's not as patient as he's been in the past. And I think in the second half of that game last week, he seemed to pick it up a little bit. And look, I'm not one of those guys that buried him after the Chiefs game a couple years ago, like a lot of people did, said he's done and finished. He just hasn't looked as crisp as he has at times in the past. And you know what? Last year he wasn't great during the regular season either, but he picks it up toward the end of the year and on into the postseason.
Pete Prisco is joining us. Do you think it's only a matter of time before that offense gets rolling, or might this season be different?
Well, I think it'll get rolling once they get the line working, you know, as a unit. Not having Gronk hurts them. Edelman's not 100%. They haven't really adapted yet to not having Gronk, and I think that's a challenge for them. They haven't run the ball. Sony Michel's been hurt. So there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of factors. And again, most of the time, the Patriots gear everything they do to December, everything. And usually the defense takes a long time to get going. And that's what's so impressive about this group. It hasn't taken time. I think the offense will take time, but by December, they'll be fine.
Pete Prisco is joining us. All right, Pete, moving along. How impressed were you with what San Francisco did Monday night against the Browns?
Very. And look, their offensive line dominated up front. They ran the ball. They did whatever they want. And that whole offense is predicated on that zone running scheme. If you can get it running, then I think it's going to make a lot easier for Jimmy Garoppolo. But the other side of the ball, that down defensive group just dominated. And I thought they would. The Browns have major issues on the offensive line. You know, all offseason, all anybody talking about, look at all the weapons they have. Oh, my gosh, they're going to be so explosive. Everybody lost sight of the fact that the line was an issue. I mean, Greg Robinson was a reject at one point in his career. Now he's a starting left tackle. The right guard situation isn't great. Hubbard's a solid player, but not a great player at right tackle. And I think that's showing up in a big way, and it's impacting Baker Mayfield.
Pete Prisco is joining us. I'm going to go back to the Browns in a minute, Pete. But in terms of the Niners, they follow up that huge game on Monday night with arguably even a bigger game against the Rams on Sunday. How do you think the Niners will show up in that game on a short week?
You know, it's interesting. When you watch the Rams' lines, their offensive line has had some problems, and their defensive line is little. You know, Aaron Donald is a big guy. He's a dominant player, but the guys around the Brockers is pretty big, but the rest of those guys are little. Teams can run on them, and they've been run on. And if I'm the Rams this week, I'm very concerned about that because, you know, this Niners team is going to go in there and try and run the ball with whoever's back there, Coleman, Breida, whoever. So that's a concern, and I love the pass rush. So I think this is a good setup for the Niners. Other than the fact that the Rams have been off since, you know, they'll have 10 days off, and you're playing on a short week. That's a problem usually for teams.
I think you're right, and I think the Rams need that time off after dropping back-to-back games to Tampa Bay and Seattle. Now, going back to Cleveland, they're coming off a tough loss at San Francisco, and they've got to face Seattle next, but you've called your shot. You're predicting a Browns win. What do you see that makes you feel that way?
I just think they're going to regroup. And look, the Seattle pass rush was better last week against the Rams. It hasn't been great all year, even with Clowney. And usually the team that doesn't have the great pass rush isn't going to impact Baker Mayfield the way that the 49ers did. So I think he's going to have some opportunities. I also think this is a game Beckham gets right. You know, I've been saying that for a couple weeks. I thought 2 weeks ago he would get it, and he didn't catch any pass against Baltimore. And then last week he was almost a no-show. I think this is a game for Beckham. And I think they'll get some guys back on defense, which will help. And for me, it's a long trip to the East Coast, and I just think this is an upset in the waiting for the Cleveland Browns.
Pete Prisco back in the jungle breaking it all down. You know, Pete, you could pretty easily argue, I think, that the NFC West for the moment is the best division in football. So when you look at San Francisco, Seattle, and Los Angeles, who is the best team in that division?
I still think the Rams will figure it out and be the best team. I just think that the way Sean McVay calls plays and the offense hasn't quite clicked as well. Gurley hasn't done it. We saw glimpses of it last week, though. You saw him score two touchdowns, got off to a fast start. I think the Rams will end up being the best team. The corners haven't played well either, particularly Tlaib. He struggled a little bit. I think that's shown up in a big way. But I think the Rams will figure it out. They'll end up being the best team.
Now, Pete, in your preview of Philadelphia at Minnesota, you wrote, quote, "Is this a big game? It seems like it. That's not good news for Kirk Cousins," end quote. I mean, it's kind of harsh, but it's fair, right? Why do you think that Kirk Cousins struggles the way he does in big games?
You know, that has to be something inside of him. And you know, nobody can put a finger on it other than Kirk Cousins. And, you know, you talk to people up there, does the moment get too big for him? Who knows? But they're trying to figure it out themselves. But the history says that's exactly what happened in his past, and until he proves everybody wrong, it's always going to be out there. And I think a couple of weeks ago he struggled. He called it, you know, everybody got called out in the passing game, and they responded to it. But now you're at home, you're playing an Eagles team that went on the road the last time and beat the Packers, who have a good defense. So it's up to you. You got to go out there and make plays. But I have my doubts about it. Until he wins them, I'm seriously going to have my doubts about him in big games.
We're talking to Pete Prisco for a few more moments. Pete, let me ask you about Kansas City. They're coming off a tough loss to Indy on Sunday night. Patrick Mahomes is a little bit banged up at the moment. How has Kansas City's offense looked to you in their last two games?
Unsettled. And I think some of that has to do with the injuries. They lost Watkins early in that game the other night. The offensive line lost the left guard later in the game, but they've been playing without the left tackle, Fisher. And so he got dinged up, Patrick Mahomes. And he's different when he's not moving around, creating all those problems outside the pocket. And so they got handled last week. And I give the Colts a lot of credit. That was not a good look for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, again, they haven't had Tyreek Hill. Teams are doubling Kelce all over the place, you know, and they didn't have Watkins last week. They get those guys back healthy, and he gets healthy, there's going to be the same explosive offense. And this week, that should be a shootout with the Texans. That'll be a fun game to watch.
Pete Prisco joining me for a couple of more moments. Pete, a couple of quick things before you go. The Redskins get rid of Jay Gruden, and they want to make sure that everybody knows that the culture there is, quote, actually damn good. Pete, does it feel to you like Gruden was the problem, and now that he's gone, everything's going to be smooth sailing for the Redskins? Is that how it feels?
Absolutely not. You know, Dan Snyder's had so many coaches in his career, and he's won one playoff game. That, you know, you got to point the finger at the owner. You got to point the finger at Bruce Allen. And the culture is something that's a fun. We love to throw that word out there, and they do it too. But what is culture? When you're winning, your culture's great. When you're losing, your culture's garbage. That's basically the bottom line. And there have been teams that have won that had bad cultures, but they were so good they overcame it. I don't buy any of that. I don't think it's a culture issue. I think it's an ownership/president issue, and until they fix that, it's going to be a problem no matter who coaches that team.
Right. I want to ask you about a guy before I go that I always liked, and I know you respect him, but let me set it up this way. Daniel Jeremiah recently compared Dalvin Cook to Priest Holmes, and then that inspired a Twitter discussion about former NFL running backs, and the name Fred Taylor comes up. You covered Fred back in the day. For those who don't remember, how big, how fast, how skilled was Fred Taylor?
Fred Taylor was one of those rare players that come around once in a blue moon. And that's why the players themselves always respected Fred more than the fans did. You know, fans always put that thing on there, fragile Fred. He wasn't fragile Fred. He missed some time. Hey, Jim, he had a muscle torn off the bone in a game. It was like he was shot with a rifle from the stands, and he dropped the ball, fumbled, and Coughlin listed him week to week every week. That's where the fragile Fred stuff came in. He's 6'2". Weighed about 232, 233, 234 pounds, and ran 4.2, 4.3. He could run away from people. He made people miss. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He doesn't get nearly the consideration he deserves.
Why is that, Pete? I mean, and the guy was so strong, and he was so good. And I can remember even you, me, those who knew would fight that good fight on his behalf that time. Why does Fred Taylor not get the respect that he deserves?
Well, part of it is because he played in Jacksonville, I think, and that hurts him. It hurts, you know, a lot of the guys there. But again, I think it's the Fragile Fred moniker, which, you know, if you do your work on him, it's not true. Look, he averaged 4.5 yards per carry, I think, in seven seasons. You know, Curtis Martin did it once. And you know, I'm not knocking Curtis Martin. He should be in the Hall of Fame, but it's special. When you watch Fred Taylor, anytime anybody wants to argue with me about Fred Taylor, go pop on some of his plays, and you tell me that's not a special running back who should be in the Hall of Fame.
And Martin, and rightfully so, but Martin is beloved, right? And Fred Taylor just can't get that respect. I agree with you. Last thought, you got Washington, Pete, against Miami Sunday, a battle of two of the worst teams in the NFL. If you had to pick a winner there, who do you have?
Miami. I think this is a bad spot for the Redskins. Changing coaches. You know, he's going to start Keenum at quarterback, but that's okay. I just think that Miami's sitting there coming off the bye. It's going to be hot. We know how that plays out in South Florida. It's going to be hot for them. I think this is a good spot. Miami plays hard. They're not talented, but they play hard. I wonder if the Redskins will with Bill Callahan. I like Miami to win the game.
Senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. He is an analyst on the Pick 6 podcast. And as I mentioned, a good friend of the program. Pete, great to have you back. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Jim. You know that.
Good job. Pete, well done. Covered a lot of ground with him. So we start off by saying the Giants and the Pats tomorrow night. Weird things happen on Thursday night. Short weeks. Every team's got to do it once. They all hate it. Weird things happen. Nothing as weird as the Giants beating the Pats. There's no way that happens. In fact, it's kind of a weird deal. Being the way things are right now, being how more and more people are betting, getting down, looking at the lines, it's almost hard for me even to look at that game and ask a straight question. Like, hey, Pete, is there any way the Giants win that game? No, I mean, is there any way the Giants stay within the point spread?